you very much. Please all have a seat. Thank you so, so very much. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much. You know, there's a number of people here from ARPA and DARPA, the Defense Department, that I got a chance to meet earlier. I was kidding that this is already a state with a significant collective IQ, but I tell you, it went up about 10 points just having all these folks that are here. Some of the greatest and most innovative minds in the country, in the world, reside in these agencies. And I think it's probably one of the best-kept secrets from the American people to understand, not understand, the depth of the capacity that exists. I was saying to the governor, who I think is about the best governor in the whole United States of America, and I mean that sincerely. I was saying to him that, you know, when I first got elected as a 29-year-old kid to the United States Senate, not old enough to be sworn in, I was always characterized as the young optimist. I can say without fear of contradiction, I am more optimistic about the chances of the United States of America in the 21st century than I have been at any time in my life. Relative to the rest of the world, we are so, so, so well positioned to lead the world in the 21st century. And part of the reason of what we're going to talk about today, and we've been talking about. Governor, thank you for the invitation and the passport to come back in. And Lovely actually controls the passports into town. Thank you, Madam Mayor, for allowing me to be here. And Tom, it's great to be with you. And Mr. President, I was saying I have a couple folks on my staff as we were riding over Binghamton on the way to here. One looked down and said, "That's Binghamton." He said, "I tried to get in to SUNY Polytechnic, and I tried to get into SUNY Binghamton. I ended up having to go to Amherst." I think it was Amherst. Don't hold me to that, but it was one of the great schools. And then the president told me what the minimum requirement for SAT scores is, and he's probably right. But at any rate, it's great to be here. And I just want you to know, full disclosure, I came for one reason. I thought Abby Wambach was going to be here. I don't know where the hell it is, so I'm leaving. Y'all produce everything here. And, you know, I went to school down the road in Syracuse, and an awful lot of my friends at Syracuse grew up and were from Rochester. And almost every single one of them came from a family that worked for Kodak or Bausch & Lomb or Xerox. And I'm not exaggerating. It was the most, how can I say it, stable middle class, upper middle class city in America, I think. I understand I come from what used to be referred to facetious as the state of DuPont. I understand how these major institutions form not only the job base but the culture of a community. And you were hit very hard. I don't need to tell all of you those days are gone. But in place of the three giants, there are now hundreds of nimble, innovative businesses that are continuing this city's legacy in optics and making you the optics capital of the world. You've gone from making Brownie cameras to the lenses that are now mapping the far side of Pluto. You've reached the furthest reaches of the solar system. But today, it's about a much smaller frontier we're talking about, harnessing the power of light into the thinnest of components, the tiniest of components. A century ago, the English scientist Sir William Bragg said, "Light brings us the news of the universe. Light brings us the news of the universe." And that's never been more true than today. Light now brings the news of the universe through fiber optic cable to every single corner and part of the globe. It's called photonics, the science of using the smallest waves of light to approach extraordinary things and accomplish extraordinary things. You've been doing it here in Rochester for decades. You're using photonics and everything from laser printers to the defense systems we all talk about. But in the field of photonics, it's changing at an exponential rate like almost everything else is. Lasers, detectors, waveguides, controllers, they're all becoming smaller and smaller and more powerful. The emerging field of integrated photonics combines these components at a microchip level in the same way the semiconductor revolution replaced vacuum tubes with microchips a generation ago. And a generation ago, it was viewed as revolutionary to hear. I'll never forget one of the — I've been hanging around so long, I remember making a speech at a graduation in high school and talking about how the world has changed and talked about what's a transistor radio. No one even knows what the heck a transistor radio is today. Just as integrated electronic circuits allowed the advanced progress in computers and cell phones and integrated photonics components can pack even more processing power into a single chip, creating new possibilities for computing and for telecommunications. Integrated photonics are going to help create new supercomputers that will be faster while using less power. These supercomputers give small manufacturers access to computing power necessary to quickly develop and test their products. This technology also has the power to completely transform communications, enabling broadband networks to carry 10 times their current load. Integrated photonics will also revolutionize medical technology, creating ways for diabetics to monitor their blood sugar without needles, creating a camera as small as a pill which can travel through the arteries to determine what's going on. Integrated photonics can also help speed critical communications to our troops in the field by speeding up their access to that information. If we can build sensors to detect chemicals and biological weapons releases, improve the performance of radar systems and other electronic warfare technologies, we not only have more capacity, we have the greater capacity to protect ourselves. In short, we see extraordinary potential for civilian and defense applications for integrated photonics. We know that the optics business of Rochester was the business of Rochester. And we know you're capable of achieving these breakthroughs. But we know that while smaller companies have the flexibility to innovate, they often lack the access to foundries and the test beds needed to manufacture and refine their ideas. That's why it's my honor to announce what's already been announced. And it should be. And the governor should be announcing, because they're coming up with the biggest chunk of the investment here, that the public-private partnership of over $600 million to create American Institute for Manufacturing Integrated Photonics, or AIM Photonics. The Department of Defense is going to invest $110 million over 5 years, while $500 million will come from a consortium across 20 states, including 55 companies, 35 community colleges, 33 community colleges, 16 nonprofit organizations, 20 universities led by the Research Foundation for the State University of New York. AIM Photonics is going to act as a central hub and will give Rochester Optics business the space and the capacity they need to generate the next generation breakthroughs and secure American leadership in the manufacturing of integrated photonics. It's going to develop an open foundry that will give startups, students, and large manufacturers alike access to the same cutting-edge facilities, reducing the time needed to go from prototype to development to the next great idea. This is the sixth manufacturing institute we've launched in different parts of the country, and giving manufacturers access to advanced platforms and capabilities to bring their ideas online. As was pointed out, the first was in Youngstown, dedicated to pioneering new uses of 3D printing technology. The others included Detroit, dedicated to research and development of lightweight materials that are going to revolutionize aviation, the automobile manufacturing industry, and so much more. And we just launched another in Knoxville, Tennessee, to push the boundaries of advanced materials. Each one of these institutes is part of a growing network dedicated to bridging the gap between basic research and product development, securing the United States' leadership in emerging technologies and winning the next generation of advanced manufacturing right here in the United States of America. Several years ago, I was criticized — it's rare that I'm criticized — but I was criticized when I said at a major four, I said, where is it written actually it was about 10 years ago. Where is it written that the United States cannot be the leading manufacturer in the 21st century? Where is that written? But that's what everyone was saying. Every business school in America back 20 years ago and 10 years ago even. We have to move to the service industry. That's a good thing. We have. New York leads in that regard. But ladies and gentlemen, we remain and continue to be the most innovative country in the world. And innovation is who we are. And that's what manufacturing is about. Manufacturing production is now up by almost a third since the recession. And the number of factories across the United States is growing. Factories is growing for the first time since the 90s. U.S. exports are at their highest level ever. Our economy has been adding jobs for 64 consecutive months, the longest on record. And over this time, you've added, over 900,000 new jobs in manufacturing. This shouldn't come as a surprise, because more than ever, this is the nation, the United States, is best positioned to lead the world in the 21st century. And it's not because Barack Obama and Joe Biden or Governor Cuomo. It's because America will be the epicenter of energy in the 21st century. We have the greatest research universities in the world. That is not braggadocio. That's a simple fact. We have the most adaptive venture capitalist system. We have a legal system that adjudicates claims fairly and protects intellectual property. And our workers are three times as productive as workers in other parts of the world, including China. As the governor knows, as a United States senator, I spent an awful lot of time in New York with Pat Moynihan and others trying to deal with upstate New York, being a supporter. All we talked about then was outsourcing. I don't know how many factories I visited, from Buffalo down through Syracuse, where literally there was a padlock on the gate. The manufacturing facility was being, the machinery was being unbolted from the floor, put in the back of railroad cars, heading up to the lake to get on a ship to go somewhere else in the world. I mean, for real. But your children, these two beautiful young children in the front here, they're going to — actually, there's a total of six of them, but the others are a little older. They're not children. They're young adults. You guys aren't going to hear the word outsourcing. You're going to keep hearing the word insourcing. Insourcing. As a lot of you know, A.T. Kearney is a leading management firm employed by major corporations all over the world. It does a survey every year. I think it's been going on for 18 or 19 years now. Don't hold me the exact number of years. But what they do every year is they go to the 300 leading international companies, 300 biggest in the world, and they ask them the same question every year. Where is the best place in the world to invest? By a margin larger than any time since they've been conducting the survey, they say the United States of America, in every geographic region, in every single discipline, from manufacturing to IT to service, the United States is the best place to invest their money. And they're putting their money where their mouths are. Foreign direct investment in the United States totaled $2.8 trillion last year, $936 billion in the manufacturing sector. Let me say that again, in terms of all the outsourcing that was going the other way. $936 billion in foreign investment and manufacturing is because of you, Doc, and because of all the folks like you. I really mean it. They know where the future is. The Boston Consulting Group surveys American companies with manufacturing facilities in China. They do it every year. It's been over a decade they've been doing it. It comes out, I think, Governor, in March. This last survey showed that 54% of American corporations invested in China. When asked, what are your plans for next year? 54% said they're considering coming back home. Things are changing. I'm not being solicitous. I'm about to say, when I say that, in order to keep our edge, we've got to do two things, and this is the governor's doing it. He's one of the few leaders in the entire United States of America in Washington or out of Washington, who understands two things. Here's what we got to do. One, you got to build the most modern infrastructure in the world. We cannot sustain this new opportunity with the 20th century infrastructure we have. The College of Engineers says we need about $3 trillion in new investment to repair and advance our infrastructure by the year 2022. The second thing we have to do is we have to have the most skilled workforce in the world, because these jobs have to be filled by a skilled workforce. And so much of what left from everyone from machinists to welders and the like, if you came from upstate New York and your dad lost a job and he had a great job living a middle-class life as a welder, and you said, "Dad, I'm going to go into welding," the last thing in the world he'd let you do. I'm not joking. But that's how we keep tuning up this economic recovery. And look, we've gone from crisis to recovery to on the precipice of resurgence, a genuine resurgence. And that's what this institute is going to be about, both those things. When you think about this, I say to the press, you think about all the scientific breakthrough and all the amazing things and computers doing probably close to a trillion dollars, Freudian slip, trillion transactions per second. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. It's also about fundamentally being able to alter our infrastructure. You know, to compete on a global scale, America's manufacturers need this modern infrastructure to get their products to market quickly and efficiently, whether it's modern rail, highways, waterways, move freight, or modern telecommunications networks and data centers to move information. It's as critical as it's a pathway, it's a highway, no different than interstate systems. And throughout our history, public and private partnerships, such as the investment we're announcing here today, have helped manufacturers send their goods out to the world and create good-paying middle-class jobs here at home. Over 200 years ago, Governor DeWitt Clinton invested in the construction of a thing you're mildly familiar with, the Erie Canal, transforming by that one thing Rochester into what was referred to in those days as the Young Lion of the West. In the midst of the Civil War, the last thing you'd think would be on a president's mind was investing in the creation of a transcontinental railroad, helping to launch an American industrial revolution. But that's what Lincoln did. And in the 1950s, Dwight D. Eisenhower created the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, which led to the birth of the Internet. And the public-private partnership we're establishing here today to invest in the integrated photonics can help revolutionize the movement of American commerce as well, with traffic monitoring and collision avoidance systems. Increased speed and efficiency in transmission of data, load balancing, and increased efficiency in our energy infrastructure. I'll give you one example. Right now, the data centers in this country consume as much energy as the entire state of New York. All of the energy consumed by the entire state of New York, commercial as well as customer-driven homes. More energy is consumed by data centers processing the information we need processed now than the entire state of New York. Many of the centers could cut power usage significantly right now by switching to light-based components that are 10 times more efficient than electronic components. But integrated photonics has the potential to multiply that efficiency by another 10 times, making our data centers 100 times more efficient. You don't need a calculator to understand that. It would be such a significant easing of pressure on our nation's power grids and significantly lower energy costs for American manufacturing, beyond the fact that many run on natural gas now, and there's 3 to 5 times cheaper than investing in Europe and 5 to 7 times as much as investing in Asia. But the second thing we need to do as a nation is keep our competitive edge, invest in our workforce. Because in order to achieve world-class innovations, we need highly skilled workforces trained in the latest technologies and methods. That's especially critical in manufacturing. Most people don't realize this, and it's totally understandable, the way we've talked down manufacturing for so many years in the United States. Manufacturing generates the vast majority of patents and employs over 60% of the research and development workers in this entire country. 60% are focused in manufacturing. That's why this institute is bringing together the expertise of over 30 community colleges, 20 universities, 55 companies to design and implement workforce training and academic programs that fits the skills that employers are going to need in this entire new area that you all are going to be involved in research. 18 months ago, in the State of the Union address, the President asked me to come up with a game plan to determine what those jobs are of the future, how folk can get training to fill those jobs, and how we can connect the workers when they get the training with employers who need their skills. The first place I came to visit, as lovely knows, was Monroe Community College, right here in Rochester. It was the first visit I made. And the reason I did, but let me explain why I did. I'm not just trying to be nice to Rochester. Because the community college is a board made up of a lot of local business people, they had a remarkable program where the students worked directly with over 200 local manufacturers to learn hands-on precision manufacturing skills needed to make it in the optics industry. Because of American ingenuity, when Kodak I thought there was over 30,000 employees roughly here, and I think it's down to 5,000 or 7,000 now. I don't know what the number is. But what happened is a lot of small outfits broke off. But what they found out when they went out, they actually went out and surveyed in two counties. What are the needs of these 120 companies engaged in similar work now? What do they need? And so what happened was they came up with a specific list. The employers came in, they said, this is what I need people trained in. Monroe Community College set up programs. For 6 months, as I met with industry, labor leaders, mayors, governors, the Fortune 500 CEOs, nonprofits, educators all around the country, I often spoke about the example of the program I had seen here in Rochester. And I saw other examples of successful partnerships, business working together with government and academic institutions to train and grow their workforce and give their employees a shot to move up, to actually live a middle-class life. The writer Isaac Asimov said, quote, there is a single light of science, and to brighten it anywhere is to brighten it everywhere. Well, Rochester's been brightening that light of science and the science of light is only going to get brighter here in Rochester. And it's not going to only affect Rochester and the state of New York and the United States of America, it's going to affect the whole world. This is one of the most promising areas we could move into. And I can think of no more promising place to do it than here in Rochester. So let me conclude by saying to all the brilliant scientists at ARPA and DARPA and all the folks that are here, and Mr. President, you and the faculty and staff here, but most of all, you know, it does get down to vision. You need a vision. And that's where the governor comes in. Governor, your vision, the billions that already have been invested by the state of New York in this generic area specifically, is the reason why you won that competition. Could pick no better place, no better place in Rochester. Remember, all the intellectual horsepower we need resides right here. It's here. We just give it a chance. So God bless you all. May God protect our troops. Thank you.